Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, joined by my co-host,
Nikki Morissette.
Nikki, good morning.
Good morning.
We're back.
We're back.
We were just here.
I know. It feels like it, doesn't it?
I love being here.
So do I.
I'm not complaining.
Nope, not at all.
And if you're just tuning in for the fifth time,
what took you so long
to tune in for five times in a row?
That's right.
We want you always tuned in to 98.5 UPS, always.
Always.
Not just our show.
No, of course
just
not.
Always tuned in.
That's right.
June 5th, 2016.
Yes.
Wow.
I know.
Memorial Day. Great weather.
Yes, we did have great weather.
Because I always watch the weather on an app, and it said it was going to rain all. And in some parts did get some scattered showers.
Right, yes.
But it was a beautiful weekend.
It was a beautiful weekend.
I was on the water. When I wasn't biking, I was on the water. Well, how about you?
Actually, I was out in Coleman all day Sunday.
Great turnout.
Oh, my gosh. It was the highest attendance. It was an awesome concerts there. They had the four bands. Great turnout. Good way to support the veterans.
The organizers do an over-the-top job with that.
Oh, definitely.
Huge.
Definitely.
Huge. We're a huge supporter of that event.
Yes.
It goes to a good cause.
It all does, yes.
You know what really upsets me are all the charities out there. You watch Fox News and you see these charities that claim to be, you know, for the veterans, and then you find out 6 months later that they're scamming.
Oh, I know. That upsets me to no end.
There should be some serious federal penalties regarding that.
Oh, there should
be.
I'm
just saying.
Because that's so wrong when the veterans really need
this help. I'm just saying. I watched Band of Brothers again last weekend.
That was a good movie.
Can I just tell you something? When they say that was the greatest generation, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they landed at Normandy. Can you imagine what those men went through in Easy Company? Not just those men in that war, all veterans in every conflict. But that Band of Brothers, it makes you think how good we have it. They died so for our freedom.
Correct. They
but
did.
But look at how good we have it. Most of those men never had a chance to get married, have children, have a life. They died on the beach.
I know. It's just
it's
terrible.
It's heart-wrenching.
It is. That's a good movie to watch.
The Battle of Bastogne. I'm not saying that right. The Battle of Bastogne.
I don't know what that one is.
Okay. Well, it was during the campaign as the Allied forces marched on towards Germany.
Okay.
So, and the Americans were pinned down. Easy Company. It's on Band of Brothers.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
But just huge shout out. And I apologize if I'm not saying that battle. I'll have to look that up.
Okay.
But hey, what, you know, it is summer.
Yes, it is.
It was the official kickoff of summer.
Yep.
And we are going to, first of all, we're going to be talking about during the entire show, all the different boating laws and safety issues that go along with any type of watercraft on the water.
That's a great thing.
I'm a kayaker.
Oh, yeah, so am I.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay, you like to paddle?
Yes.
I love it.
I love kayaking.
I got in my kayak a couple days ago.
Okay.
And I keep my kayak upside down when it's not in use.
Right, yes.
Outside.
Yeah.
Now, wherever there's moisture, there's going to be something that's going to live in and around your kayak. What do you think I'm thinking of?
Probably the spiders.
So I take the kayak, I portage it down to the water, because I say portage.
Okay.
Like that, not portage.
All
you
right.
Say portage or portage.
Okay.
I get in the kayak. I got my, always, folks, I don't care who you are, how shallow the water is. I'm a former lifeguard. I lifeguarded at Lincoln Towers, Northgate Apartments. I lifeguarded at a country club when I was younger. It wasn't a fancy one. It was just like a golf country club.
Right.
And Also, Kensington Metro Beach, Martindale Beach.
Okay.
I lifeguarded. I was waiting tables, delivering pizzas, and lifeguarding. I always had different jobs I would always go between. And I got news for you. I don't care how shallow the water is, you wear a life vest.
Oh, definitely.
Always. And keep an eye on your animals.
Yes.
Now, one thing that really disturbed me as a lifeguard, well, I want to get back to the kayak story in a minute, but one thing that really disturbed me as a lifeguard was you would get these busloads and carloads of families coming from out of town, from all over the place, the country, wherever, and their kid, they would think us lifeguards were their babysitters.
Yes.
Now, I bring up the story because of the gorilla that got shot at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Yeah, I know. That was a horrible story.
It was not my job to be a babysitter, and I cannot tell you folks how often I would have to take a child, a young child, like 4, 6, 8, or 10, who I didn't know if they could swim, who was wandering around by the water's edge or the edge of the pool without a parent supervising. It's not a lifeguard's job to be a babysitter.
No, it's not.
Our job is to keep an eye on the water, and we're looking for certain things.
Correct.
When you're a lifeguard, here's what you're looking for. I can recall as if it was yesterday. Number one, you're always aware of who's in the water.
Right.
You try to pay attention who's where, how far out. If it's a beach where I worked, there's ropes. You can't go too far out.
Right.
So you're always aware of who's in the water, who's coming, and who's going. Very important.
It is.
And if there's a young child around, who's with that child?
Right.
I'm not a babysitter. So quite often at Kensington, I would have to blow my whistle, call for a supervisor up top to come down, retrieve the young child, and they would have to make an announcement. But it brings you back. I don't know the facts of that gorilla case, the gorilla that got shot. It's pretty sad. I'm just going on the record. I'm not a zoo expert. I don't know what that lady did or didn't do with her child, so I'm not going to pass judgment, but I'm pretty bummed out about the gorilla.
Yes.
Because honestly, as a lifeguard, I'm saying I dealt every single day, whether it was at the beach or a pool, with parents who are irresponsible that did not watch their kids. Here's another thing that pees me off. Parents, if you're in a mall, okay, if you're in a mall, how do you walk ahead of your young children?
You shouldn't.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Well, how would you? I have been, I'm so conscious of this, that when my kids were little, they would always walk in front of me. You never let your kids behind you.
No, 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 no.
But how often do we see young children and then their parents are, you know, how many steps ahead?
Yeah, I see it a lot.
How do you do that?
I couldn't do it myself. No, could not. I'd be afraid I'd lose my kid. Someone would take her. Whatever the case may be, you just don't.
But folks, if you go to a beach or a pool, it's not the lifeguard's job to babysit your kids. Your child is your responsibility, nobody else's. If you're a parent, then be a parent.
Yes.
Take responsibility.
Yes. I totally agree.
That just brings me back to that gorilla story.
And I did read something on the gorilla story because people were always posting why they didn't use a tranquilizer gun.
Well,
the reason why they didn't is because the size of that gorilla and the tranquilizer dart, if he got shot with that, and let's say it took a half hour to get an effect, within that half hour period of that drug taking effect in him to knock him out, he could have really seriously injured that child. So that's why they made the judgment to shoot it to get rid of him, to save that kid's life.
I'm not taking
the aggression that the animal could have been in.
I'm not taking a position on whether or not the gorilla should have been shot or not, but I'm taking a position on, as a parent myself, of being around parents and lifeguarding and overseeing people's safety, a parent is responsible for their children.
Oh, definitely.
If a parent is, especially around a gorilla enclosure, if I'm at a zoo, I haven't been to a zoo. Actually, I grew up in Oak Park.
Right.
I grew up right near the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If I'm at a zoo or I'm with children at a zoo, I'm watching those kids.
Oh, definitely, because they're curious.
Exactly. So whose fault is it that the gorilla was shot and killed? That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
Think about that. Yes. That gorilla would be alive today, possibly, if a parent may have been keeping a closer eye on their child. Now, on the other hand, as a man who was once a boy, as all men were, I was full of mischief. Right. I didn't always listen to my mother. I would want to run. I mean, look at me right now as an adult. I mean, I was going. So a child is capable of getting away from a parent.
Right.
So I'm not blaming the parent because I don't know the facts.
Right. Well, you got the fact that the parents weren't watching the child, but then you also
we don't know
got
that.
The fact of the zoo, how did the child get past any of the barricades?
I'm not saying whose fault it is.
So it can go both ways there with the zoo and the parent.
I'm not saying whose fault it is. All I know is that parents, you're responsible for your children. And the zoo had a pretty good enclosure there.
Yes.
I mean, when you come to a zoo, but the thing is, look, I don't know enough about the case.
Right.
I'm just saying, as a former lifeguard and a parent, you know, keep an eye on your children.
Please.
No one is responsible but you for your children. Don't make other people responsible.
You're right. Yes.
It's your job as a parent to be responsible for your own kids.
Yes. And otherwise, don't reproduce.
And why wouldn't you? Exactly. Hey, Nikki, what we started talking about, me getting in the kayak.
Yes.
So, and I have a lot of law to get to here. Look at all this.
I know.
A lot of law, folks, coming up on the show. Don't go, like, great stuff. But I get in the water. I'm portaging over land. Got my kayak. I'm in the water. And I've got my vest on. That's what this whole conversation started. And I do have a splash guard in case I'm on Lake Superior, one of the big lakes, so the waves don't come over and tip my kayak over and weigh me down. But I didn't have a splash guard on this particular lake. But I'm in the water, and I'm paddling.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I felt something crawl up my leg. And you can't panic because, I'm in a kayak.
Right.
And it's a sea kayak, so it's a little bit more tipsy than these. You ever see these river kayaks? They're short, wider base. Mine is a sea kayak. It's a long, about almost 16 footer.
Okay.
Because it's a sea kayak, it goes through the waves on Lake Superior. I have a rudder. But I'm just out there practicing some techniques. So all of a sudden, I feel a creepy crawler on my leg. And I knew right away that it was a bug. But I'm not going to panic.
Right.
And I'm not making this up. It proceeded to crawl up my knee. It turned out to be a wolf spider the size of a silver dollar.
Seriously?
It was.
Wow.
And it looked at me, and I looked at the wolf spider. And you know what? My first thing was, don't panic. It's not going to hurt you. Because a wolf spider is not there to hurt you.
No.
They live in moist areas.
Correct.
So when I had the kayak at the beginning of the segment turned over, obviously it rained.
Yeah.
The ground had moisture, and it was burrowing. Some of them. Okay. You ever see those holes? They make those holes?
Yes.
Like a real scary Lord of the Rings
in my kayak,
like a Lord of the Rings kind of spider hole.
Yeah, I know.
But it proceeded to crawl up my leg. I immediately started back paddling. I wasn't too far offshore.
Okay.
I back paddled because I can back paddle. Right. It's not hard to do.
Right.
Slowly, very slowly. I had gloves on. Okay. I put my hand down so the spider could step on my hand.
Yeah.
And it didn't crawled on my hand. It's not like a step. Hey, Mr. Spider, step on my hand. It walked on my hand really quick, and I didn't feel it because I had a glove on.
Right.
And I put my hand on the ground, and it literally walked off and went away.
There, you didn't freak out or tip the kayak.
No, spiders are a great thing. But hey, folks, huge show today. Todd Levitt Law Show featuring Nikki Morissette, and when we come back from break, since we're talking about water safety.
Yes.
I'm going to discuss how old you need to be to safely operate a boat.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with some Van Halen, Ain't Talking About Love.
That's right.
You know, people always ask me, where do you come up with this music? Well, it's really what I'm feeling.
Like, music is what you feel. That's what we play.
I recommend everybody, when you wake up in the morning, if you don't already do, well, first of all, you should always be tuned into 98.5 UPS.
Of course.
And if you're not, get the app. I know we talk about this every week on the show. Download the app. It's free. Go to the app store. It's free. Just type in WUPS and download it, and then just tap on it, and you can listen to UPS instantaneously.
And it's such a good app.
No,
there's so many
Norman
features
Mike,
on it.
Great app. I love it. But aside from that, you know, just tune. If put on some music that makes you feel good.
Yes,
that's what
always.
I do. So I try playing it for the listeners.
There we go.
Love Van Halen.
I know Van Halen's great.
Great Van Halen. Nikki.
Yes.
So during break, we were discussing next week's show.
Yes.
Listeners, we have a huge show. Today's a huge show.
Yes, it is.
Boater safety, boater laws coming up here shortly. Next week, it's all about the legalization of marijuana across the country in the state of Michigan.
Right.
We have one of two attorneys, at least one. I'm not going to mention their names in case they cancel, but I have two attorneys who already confirmed that they're coming on the show. So in case one cancels, the other one's coming on.
Okay, great.
And this individual is one of the top leading attorneys in the legal business of marijuana. So next week on the show, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, tune in 9 to 10 a.m. because we're going to, for the entire show, we're going to update all the listeners on all the different laws, what's going on in the legislature, where things are moving, and what direction it's taken. And once it's legal, what the people can do to be part of the business of it.
It's going to be a great show.
And if you have any questions, folks, now write this down or listen. If you have any questions for our guest or the show next Sunday, send me an email. It's TLLS, Todd L. Levitt Show, or The Levitt Law Show. Doesn't matter. It's TLLS. The letter T, the letter L, the letter L, and S. That's four letters, at WUPS.com. TLLS at WUPS.com.
Yes.
Send us an email. We'll retrieve it and answer your questions. And I want to thank the listeners for sending us emails, because I do answer emails that you forward me.
Yes,
from some great listeners.
Yes, you do.
Or if you want us to discuss a topic, TLLS at WUPS.com.
Yes, send us your emails.
And we're on iTunes.
Yep.
Trending high on iTunes.
Yes, we
are.
It's
free. Podbean and SoundCloud.
Yep.
Let's talk boating laws.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. First of all, as a kayaker, I'm going to tell you, there is not one time when I don't go on a lake that I'm not concerned about my safety.
Well, you have to be.
I don't care what type. If you're in a small fishing boat, I recommend you wear bright colors.
Okay.
Because if you're a small fishing boat, you got these men and women on these huge jet skis that are just, and I'm not knocking jet skis, but look, they concern me as a kayaker when I see jet skis, because I don't want to put all the jet ski users into one category, but sometimes they just don't seem as responsible as the pontooners and the fishing boats.
Correct. They're going way too fast.
And I have a lot of friends and family who own jet skis. So I'm talking to my friends and family and everyone out there. You also have to follow the rules. And there's a 100-foot rule out there, folks. All power boats must operate at no wake speed when within 100 feet of docks, rafts, buoyed swim areas, moored boats, hoist, or other persons wading or swimming in the water, including kayaks.
There we go.
If you're a kayaker, stay close to the shore. Stay within the 100-foot. I always use the 100-foot rule as a kayaker on big lakes. I like to train on the lakes.
Right.
Because when I train on, I like to train on inland lakes in bad weather. People always say to me, why do you go out there when it's bad weather or there's a lot of boats on the water? Because when we go to Lake Superior and kayak, okay?
Right.
And I'm not saying we go miles out. We do the shoreline.
Right.
We're not in 10-foot waves, but you want to practice your technique in case the kayak tips over. You want to practice getting out. So we take the time to practice on these inland lakes when the weather's bad.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
It's like mountain biking in the wintertime and extreme heat and in extreme conditions. If you bike in those extreme conditions, then you'll be more prepared when you have to face those conditions in a race.
There you go.
All right. So 100-foot rule. Please obey the law.
Yes.
What do you got?
I've got boater safety tips.
Give us a couple.
Okay, a couple of them here are be weather-wise, like you were just talking about with the weather.
Wear bright colors.
Bring extra gear you may need.
Absolutely. And those born, for young boaters, by the way, young boaters, those born on or after July 1st of 96, may operate a boat legally only if they've been issued a boating safety certificate and have it on board the boat.
Yeah, they need to take that safety class.
Yeah, so how do you take the safety class, Nikki? So again, for those less than 12 years of age, let's talk about those less than 12 years. We're going young.
Okay.
You can operate a boat, but get this, folks, powered by a motor of no more than 6 horsepower legally without restrictions. I mean, that 6 horsepower, that's basically a trolling motor almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the law. This is from, you can look this up on the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, the DNR. Contacted the DNR, and thank you to the DNR for all this information. I told them we're doing a show on boater safety. They provided me with all this information, by the way, which is online on the DNR website.
Right.
Now, if you're less than 12 years of age, you may operate a boat powered by a motor of more than 6 horsepower, but no more than 35 horsepower legally only if they have been issued a boating safety certificate, as we just talked about, and have it on board the boat and are supervised by a person at least 16 years of age. You got that?
Got that.
if you're less than 12, you can operate a boat again, folks, or the young person can, but it can have no more than 6 horsepower legally without restrictions.
Right.
That's unbelievable. And if they are under 12, they can operate the 6 to 35 horsepower if they have a boating certificate.
Right.
And somebody is at least 16 years of age or older.
There you go.
And we're going to talk later in the show how somebody can obtain that boating certificate.
Okay.
What else you got there?
It says, tell someone where you're going, who is with you, and how long you'll be away.
Okay. This applies. Say that again.
Tell someone where you're going.
We're talking about boating.
Yep. Who's with you and how long you'll be away.
Okay. This applies not only to boating, but those of us, as I am, as a backcountry bushwhack and hiker,
rustic
camper, first of all, when you go to a federal park, you have to register.
Yes.
You don't have to register. You have to register the campsite.
Correct.
But you can just hike in without letting anybody know where you go. But I would always recommend, folks, if you're kayaking, boating, hiking, even going for a bike ride, let someone know. Because if you're on a bike, like we got a lot of running, let someone know. Because what if, you know, God forbid, you get hit. You got a health issue.
Correct.
And you're in a ditch somewhere. Somebody needs to know when you left, what your course was, so they can search for you.
Definitely.
And I recommend always wear yellow or orange colors.
Why would
you go out and wear dark colors if you're doing any outdoor activity? I'm not referring to hunting. I mean, because when you hunt, I got camo.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking about hunting. We're talking about outdoor activities that involve water, boating.
You're kayaking and you're running, biking,
hiking. Oh, always, always wear bright colors. I mean, that's common sense, isn't it?
And I think it's common sense to let somebody know where you're at. Same thing with hunting. When you're hunting out there, everybody's got to know where you're at so they don't shoot in your direction.
Absolutely. Now,
everybody should do that.
You absolutely should have a Coast Guard approved life jacket. I mean, I'm chuckling because how could you not? Or readily available. You don't have to wear it for each person in the boat. And look, folks, there are so many accidents and so many deaths each year from drinking and driving and drinking and operating watercraft.
Yes, there are.
I would never get on a boat with someone who's intoxicated or drinking.
No.
And operating that boat.
No.
There's no way. I'm just not going to do it. It's too dangerous.
No, I don't blame you. I wouldn't do it either.
I mean, look at all the fatalities each year. You hear every year after the holiday how many people died in boating accidents.
I know. Yeah, there's a lot of people who drowned because of that.
It's sad.
It is very sad when it could have been avoided.
Yep. And here's something. An intoxicated person, a person who is intoxicated, it's the same definition now for those operating a car. You may not operate or be in charge of any vessel if you're intoxicated. And the legal limit, it used to be 0.10 as it related to boats.
Okay.
It's been lowered to 0.08 as it is with operating a motor vehicle on a highway or a road open to the public.
Now, if somebody is caught driving their boat and they get in an accident or whatever with their boat or whatever, do they have the same rules that apply with drunk driving?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Where they lose their license to?
We will go over all the license restrictions as it relates to boating and being charged with operating a watercraft while intoxicated. We'll go in the third and fourth segment.
Okay.
We got to tease the listeners a little bit right here on Todd's Rock Block featuring Nicky Morissette coming back strong with Van Halen today.
Yes.
Boy, I had a text from a friend who's listening to the show regarding that wolf spider. Oh, come on, Todd. Is that a true story? It's an absolute true story.
Next time, I guess you have to get another picture like you did with that woolly bear caterpillar.
Yeah. Hey, huge shout out to my friend Stephanie Peters.
Okay.
I'm going to be hanging out with Stephanie Peters today.
All right.
I love Stephanie. She's like my sister. We are rock concert goers. Whenever there's a concert at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, by the way, folks, Stephanie and I always go to concerts together.
Okay.
Along with Frank Bailey, a whole bunch of people, but Stephanie and I are, you know, that team.
Right.
Love Stephanie. Big shout out to Stephanie Peters. I'll see you in a couple hours we're going to have a barbecue or something today.
Okay.
But look, we got a lot of law to get to here. But first, I want to tell you that we are so lucky here in mid-Michigan. We have, to the north of Mount Pleasant, we have Claire.
Yes.
Jay Sporting Goods, Cops and Donuts, the Doherty, you know, Jim's Auto Body Shop, Busilli's Pizza. We got the Hamburger Place. I mean, Clare's a great town.
It
historic.
Is.
We got Coleman, Beaverton. We've got the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. What a great property.
It is.
We have major concerts.
Yes,
you
we can, do.
If you don't want to, you don't have to gamble. If you don't want to gamble, you can go there for a concert. They got great restaurant facilities.
Oh, they do.
This is not a shameless plug. I love the facilities.
Oh, I like going there too.
Got a water park right here.
I know.
You don't have to leave mid-Michigan. We have everything right here.
Yes, we do.
If you want to go see windmills, you go south to Ithaca.
There you go.
I'm just saying. Speaking of south of Mount Pleasant, we've got great food south of here, from Elma to Shepherd. We got the Mitchell's Deli. If you love deli food, I'm talking, I mean, I love going to Max and Emily's in Mount Pleasant.
Okay.
Mountain Town, great brewery. I was just at Hunter's Ale House, my buddy John Hunter, Cheryl, big shout out to Cheryl Hunter and Dave Hunter. Hunter's Ale House, they own the cabin, the Wayside, O'Kelly's, great family. But we got Mitchell's Deli right there in Shepherd.
Okay.
Great food, folks. 127 South to Shepherd. Get off, turn right. Tell them I sent you.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, we got some more boating laws, and you want me to answer the question, what is the penalty if you're charged with operating a boat while intoxicated?
Correct.
We'll talk about that right after break, Nikki. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Nikki, what a huge show.
It is a huge show.
No, this show is huge.
Yes, it is.
Tell the listeners about next week's show.
Next week, you're going to discuss all the laws from medical marijuana, all the new laws that are coming out and what's going to happen. And we're hoping that all the listeners, if they have any questions with your, from your guest speakers, to email all your questions to TLLS@WUPS.com, and we'll see if we can answer them on the air next week.
Absolutely. Now, here's some more updates.
Okay.
We have more boating laws to get to.
Okay.
All the penalties and whatnot.
Right.
We want to talk about personal watercraft, a.k.a. jet ski wave runner.
Okay.
How old do you have to be to operate one of these PWCs, personal watercraft? Okay. But before we do so, on last week's show, which, by the way, folks, is on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud.
Yes.
If you want to hear last week's show, I mentioned briefly how the governor on the 10th of last month signed an amendment to the driving law.
Yes.
That allows circuit court judges to have broad authority to grant restricted driving privileges.
Every moment. Yep.
And it's actually House Bill 4436. House Bill 4436. If you want to see the entire law posted, go to my website, centralmichiganlawyer.com, centralmichiganlawyer, all spelled out.com. Go to my blog, and I have hundreds of articles there on different types of laws and issues, but I have the entire law posted there.
Okay.
Also, College Lawyer blog, it's posted also. But this basically, here's how the law works. If you are revoked, and you have to go in front of an attorney who represents the Secretary of State, and they make a determination. That attorney denies your request for any type of relief in regards to restrictions.
Okay.
You always had a right to appeal to circuit court.
Right.
That appeal was there already. But the appeal to circuit court was limited to, let's say if somebody got denied before the Secretary of State and they contacted me, I was limited to my appealable issues. For instance, the attorney for the state, their decision was arbitrary, capricious, or clearly an abuse of unwarranted exercise of discretion. So it was arbitrary, capricious. It wasn't supported by competent material or substantial evidence. Then, so basically, you were limited as to what you could appeal.
Okay.
Now, the legislator is giving authority back to the circuit court judge to make determinations, extremely broad determinations. So they'll take a look to see if the person is in fact sober and likely to remain sober. The circuit court judge will take a look to see whether or not that person has letters of support, character references, any relapse prevention program in place. So regardless of what the determination is from the Secretary of State, which obviously is a denial,
right?
You have to get denied first. You can't just go right to, if you don't have a license right now, folks, you cannot go right to circuit court.
Okay.
You have to go before an attorney for the Secretary of State and get denied first.
Okay.
I specialize in this stuff. Call my office, 989-772. Talk to Jackie Starr. We'll help you out.
Right.
So look, everything is going back. The men and women in Lansing, they want people to get to work. So they're now giving more authority back to the circuit court judges who are saying, great, my docket's going to expand. Because, I mean, they got a huge docket, some of them.
Right.
All right, yes. Let's get back to water safety.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about? We can't stress enough, do not drink and operate a boat.
Yes, please.
If you drink and operate a boat, and I'll also post this on my Central Michigan Lawyer website. So if you want to see the law, it's actually section 324.80176.
Okay.
A person shall not operate a motorboat on the waters of this state if the person is under the influence of alcoholic liquor or a controlled substance or both, and the person has a blood alcohol content of 0.08 grams or more. Okay. So that we already talked about that.
Right.
So, and the owner of a motorboat or a person in charge or in control of the motorboat shall not authorize or knowingly permit the motorboat to be operated on the waters of this state by a person if any of the following applies. So if you own a boat and you knowingly allow someone to operate that boat who's intoxicated, you're going to be charged.
Okay.
So you cannot allow someone, just like you can't allow someone to operate your car who's intoxicated, you could be charged with a misdemeanor. Same type of misdemeanor of allowing an intoxicated driver to operate your vehicle. You could be charged.
Correct.
Do you recall we talked about that texting law, that if you send someone a text and they're driving and they cause death or injury, that you could be charged also?
Yes.
That's gaining steam in this country.
I bet it is.
Okay, I don't agree with that. First of all, don't text and drive.
No, you have to know if the person's driving or not.
I saved a turtle last week, by the way.
You did?
I always saved. Good. We're talking about water. I saved a turtle. It was a baby turtle. It was smaller than my hand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But back to texting, third-party texting could now be liable if you text a party in some states. It's gaining momentum in some states, especially on the East Coast. So, folks, if you're just tuning in for the first time.
Your attorney, Todd L. Levitt.
No, what took you so long?
Yeah, there we go.
You cannot, if I text Nikki Morissette after the show, and I'm in my office or in the studio here, and she's driving. Let's say I didn't even know you were driving.
Okay.
And you look down at your phone and text me back, and you, God forbid, cause an accident, and serious accident causing death. I could be, in some states now, I could be charged as an accessory for sending you the text, whether or not I had the knowledge requirement or not.
Whether or not you had the knowledge. But now, that part right there, I think, is a fine line.
There are some states. There are some states not coming on board with the law because states have sovereignty because of the knowledge requirement.
Right. Yeah.
I say the knowledge requirement is vital.
It is vital.
It's not my fault I text you and you were driving.
You didn't know.
I'm telling you not to text and drive, Nikki.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Actually, the person driving shouldn't even have answered the text.
Right. Now, let's get back to watercraft. We are a law show.
Okay.
And we're on iTunes.
Yes, we are.
So if you're just tuning in from, you know what I want to hear from people from around the country.
There we go.
So if you're listening to this podcast right now, send us an email at tlls@wups.com.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you.
And if you're listening to the podcast, you can stop it and go back and hear it again at tlls@wups.com. Also, listeners, next week's show, we're talking everything about marijuana legalization as it relates to across the country, the end of federal prohibition, and how it applies to the different states and the state of Michigan.
Yes.
So we have an attorney or attorneys coming in to talk about it.
It's going to happen. Show. Yes, it's going to happen.
Right. Now, what about AKA jet ski wave runner? If the person's less than 14 years of age, if you are less than 14 years of age, 13 and under,
okay,
you may not operate a personal watercraft.
Really?
Nope, not in the state of Michigan.
And I'm telling you, I've seen someone's younger than that operating them.
Yeah, I don't want to be on that waterway. Also, folks, if you're listening to this podcast in your state, make sure you check the laws of your state.
Yes,
because
they vary.
We do talk about federal laws, but today we're referring to Michigan law only.
Okay.
Michigan law only. Now, how about those 14 and 15 years of age? May they operate a personal watercraft legally?
Yes.
Well, only if they have obtained a boating safety certificate. Or, and, so here's an and, so you got the certificate, and he or she is accompanied on board by his or her parent or legal guardian, or by a person at least 21 years of age who has been designated by the parent or legal guardian.
Wow.
As that person, keep an eye on that young person.
Okay.
Or he or she is operating or riding the personal watercraft at a distance of not more than 100 feet from his or her parent or legal guardian, or from a person at least 21 years of age who has been designated by the parent or legal guardian. So it can't be more than 100 feet away if you're operating it, if you're 14 or 15 years of age. Those at least 16 years of age or and born after December 31st of 1978 may operate a personal watercraft legally only if they have obtained a boating safety certificate, and those born on or before December 31st of 78, which is us, may operate a PWC legally without restrictions. Now, how do you get your boating safety class in Michigan? Boaters born, Nikki, after June 30th of 1996.
Okay.
All right. You ready for this? There are a few different ways to earn your boating safety certificate, folks. One, here's how you do it. You get it online. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and there's three steps involved. Number one, okay, and there's a couple different options. You could take a boating safety class online, and I'm going to give out the options. Here you go. And again, folks, if I'm talking fast because I talk fast, then you have to go listen to the podcast.
Yes, there you go.
Go to iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud after the show, and you can play back this show for free.
There you go.
So you can go to boated.com. So the word boat followed by E as in Edward, D as in dog, .com. Or boaterexam.com. These are online classes certified through the DNR and the state of Michigan.
Wow, okay.
So you take and pass the final exam. You can immediately print out your permanent Michigan boating safety certificate once you have successfully completed the course by passing the online course exam and paying the course fee. The DNR offers, by the way, Nikki, an online database for further information on where classes could be held. So just go to the DNR's Recreational Safety Educational Class Database, and you can select class type marine by county and just drop down a list. I've already gone through this to check it out. How about the U.S. Coast Guard? They have the U.S. Coast Guard, which, thank you to all the men and women serving as Coasties.
Yes.
The U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary Boating Safety Courses provide instruction to boaters at all levels, from the fundamentals to the advanced courses for experienced boaters. Some of these classes will give you the knowledge, folks, you need to obtain the boating safety certificate. So there you have it, folks. You can go online and do it. Go to the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. They've got all the information. So if you're a young person and you're 14, 15 or younger, you know, you need to be supervised, or one, you cannot operate a personal water. If you're under 14 years of age, you cannot operate a personal watercraft legally.
Right.
Period. And frankly, most of the adults I see operating these personal watercraft shouldn't be operating them, period.
No, they should probably go take the safety class.
Because I've seen too many of these personal watercraft just darting down the middle of the lake, not following the way boats are supposed to go around a lake.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've seen that too.
There's a certain rhythm and a way to, you know, boat around a lake.
Yeah.
And if you're on a, and look, I'm not blaming all personal watercraft operators.
No, it's because not all of them.
I've been on them. I've operated them. My best friends have them. There are more people follow the law than do not follow the law. But it's like anything else, those few give the rest a bad name.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
We have a lot more to get to.
Yes, we do.
Look at all this law.
I know.
And we're coming back with who? What kind of music?
We're coming back with Van Halen.
Because I love Eddie Van Halen. I liked Sammy Hagar, but David Lee Roth, come on.
You can't beat that.
David Lee Roth?
I'm just saying.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levin Law Show. I'm your co-host, Nikki Morissette, with
Attorney Todd L. Levin. That's right, yours truly right here, talking about boating safety laws and regulations.
Yes.
Tune in next week. Huge show. We still have a huge segment left. We're going to finish strong as we always do.
That's right.
But folks, everything that has to do with ending federal prohibition against, you know, illegal marijuana. I mean, let me restate that. We want the federal government to end their prohibition against marijuana.
Yes, we do.
And the states are now moving that way, obviously.
Yes.
Next week on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, we have one of two attorneys who have confirmed they're coming on to talk about their experts. They're going to cover every issue.
That's great.
Federal and state. So if you have any questions for these attorneys, email us at TLLS, that's Todd LLS, at WUPS.com.
Yes. Email all your questions.
Yes. And we appreciate you tuning in all the time to WUPS.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely. All right. I got some more information here.
Okay.
Okay. This is really important because I've had boats before. I'm a big Hobie Cat guy. I used to have a 16-foot catamaran.
Really?
Oh, man. If it was a good windy day and I put my jib out, get out of the way.
Yeah.
I would tack back and forth.
I used to have a pontoon boat.
I'm looking for a used Hobie Cat, by the way. If anybody out there knows someone that has a good Hobie Cat, I want a good sail. I want a good sail, a good mast, and if it has a rudder, I want the rudder in good shape. I'm just saying.
Of course, yes.
And I want it to come with a jib. If it doesn't have a jib, I'll put a jib on it. You know what a jib is?
No.
Yeah, look it up after the show. We got too much to go over here. All right, here's some really important information, okay? How about anchoring a boat? Where do you put the anchor?
You put the anchor off the bow.
Well, very good. A lot of people try to anchor their boat from the stern, making the boat unstable.
Right.
Especially when the operator starts, you know, retrieving the anchor. Not good.
No, it's not.
Not good. And you should always make sure that everything is balanced.
Yes.
On the boat. If there's too many people on the boat, not good.
No.
And keep an eye on the kids.
Please.
Always make sure.
Don't let them stand on the seats while the boat's moving.
Always make sure the young children, I don't care how old they are, always have a life preserver on at all times. If you have a pet, I've taken my dog on a boat before, and I got news for you. That dog is smarter than a lot of people.
Yeah.
German Shepherds are very smart. I'm not knocking our listeners. I'm just saying.
Right.
This German Shepherd to me, I know our animals are human-like, okay?
Right.
But German Shepherds blow me away.
Yeah, they are very smart.
And whenever you have an animal on a boat, keep an eye on that animal.
Yes.
Especially your cat. I've seen some foo-foo.
I don't think my cat would like it if I took her on a boat.
I'm just saying, I've seen some foo-foo cats on some boats going around certain lakes.
Some cats like the water.
A lot of dogs like the water.
Oh, my dog loves the water.
Yeah, a lot of dogs. A lot of dogs, a lot of water. What else you got there? So we're talking about boater safety tips. But keep your animals safe.
Yes.
Keep the kids safe. And obey the laws of the water and the state laws and regulations. And if you don't know, then you have no business getting behind the wheel of that boat.
No, you don't.
Here's the thing. If you know how to operate a boat.
Yeah.
Okay, boats handle differently.
Yes, they do.
And when they're on water and you have different wave conditions and different things going on, other boats, if you don't understand how that boat operates, you should not be operating the boat.
No, and you have to watch how far you turn the steering wheel and everything because everything moves differently.
You have to be aware of the weather.
Yes.
Of other boaters around you.
Yep.
If you're on a water boating or pulling a jet skier or a water skier or a tuber, you darn well better be aware of where the docks are. You know how you see people swing kids and adults on their tubes?
Yeah.
They swing them so wide.
They're not watching.
How often have we heard people get hurt, because they hit a dock?
It's sad. Very sad. They're not watching. Look, aren't you supposed to have a rear view mirror? A mirror of some sort when you're pulling somebody?
No, you have to have somebody watch. Two things. If you're operating a boat and you're pulling people behind you,
yes,
you have to have somebody watching. You should never, folks, and here, I'm going to say this again. You should never, ever, ever pull someone or individuals behind a boat without having someone who's watching them while you're watching the boat.
Well, you need a spotter.
A spotter.
Definitely, yes.
But most people I see don't have spotters.
But I thought if you didn't have a spotter, you had to have at least had a mirror.
I don't care if you have a mirror. And I'm going to offend a lot of people out there.
Okay.
But we're talking boater safety here.
Right.
Because you may be able to operate a boat and pull someone behind you, but what about the other individuals out there who are not following the rules and they're just driving around recklessly and you have to watch the front because you're the only one without a spotter and then something happens behind you.
Right. They're not paying attention and nor are you.
Here's another thing. If you're pulling somebody jet water skiing.
Right.
Okay. Or whatever they're doing, and they go down, you better get your tail over there and get them out of the water because there's boats everywhere.
Oh, definitely. Yes, that scares me.
I can't. When I've done that in the past,
or seen the people I'm a wakeboarder. Flip off the tubes.
I like to wakeboard because I'm a snowboarder, so I love to wakeboard with my feet in one board. And I mean, I'm not saying I'm great at it, but I'm pretty good.
Right.
And if I'm with someone, I make it very clear. If I go down, because I will go down, or I'll stop.
Right.
You better come and get me. Well, don't leave me out there.
Yeah, come and get you quick.
Real quick. And I always wear bright yellow vest. Why wouldn't you wear yellow?
Well, it'd be very visible.
I'm not going to do
that's
not.
A good idea.
Why would you wear a water vest, water safety vest that matches the color of the water?
That's blue. I've seen a lot of blue ones. Even the green matches somewhat.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're better off with the red or the yellow.
Absolutely. What do you got there?
It has another couple more tips.
I'm fired up today.
I hear you.
Because I want to keep people safe. Because you know what? Every time I go on a lake, I'm sorry, you're going to give some more tips. I can't stress this enough. I see people. I'm not an officer. Well, I'm an officer of the law because I'm an attorney.
Right.
But if I see someone doing something wrong, I'll very politely, if I'm nearby, try to educate them in a very friendly way.
Yeah.
Because I just feel I'm that guy as a former lifeguard. You know, I just try to keep people safe.
Right.
As a citizen, if we don't look out for each other, then we're in trouble. Don't just look out for the people in your party. And I can say for the most part that I've been on boats that I've owned or some I've been on water where there has not been one time where I have not had another boater or watercraft person on a jet ski come and assist me. Boaters are for the most part very helpful.
Oh yes, they are.
It's a big community. So to all you boaters out there, keep helping one another out and look out for one another.
And don't think just because you're an adult that you don't need to take that safety course, because I think everybody should take it.
Yeah.
No matter what. Whether you've been boating for years or not, there might be something out there that you just don't know or a new law that has changed. So it's a good idea to keep up and take your boater safety course.
And if you are intoxicated, you're going to be charged with a misdemeanor and you're going to jail. And if you cause death, it's a felony. So I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, that's not good. So, and be ready for trouble when a powerboat passes you in a narrow channel, like you were talking about. You know, people slow down in the narrow channels. When changing seats, stay low and near center line of a small boat.
Yeah, do you understand that?
Tip over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try being in a canoe.
Oh, yeah.
And switching front, switching bow to stern.
I
on open lake.
I couldn't do it. It'd be flipping.
Well, there's a way to do it. Because we used to practice this
as
a lifeguard. I'm not going to talk about it.
Right.
Because but there's a very safe way to do it. It's really interesting, too. I wonder if so. I might make a YouTube video and do it.
There we go.
Oh, hey, by the way, big shout out to Dino, a good friend of the show, good guy, great guy. Big shout out to Dino Pilgrim.
Okay.
Dino, you're a great guy. Dino Pilgrim and the whole family.
There we go.
Great guy. Sorry, that was a shameless plug.
That's okay. Another tip here. Ventilate after fueling.
Well, absolutely. You don't want to cause any sparks.
Oh,
you don't want
yes.
to cause any combustion. And listen, if you don't know how to properly operate the motor of a boat, then find someone who does. And here's another thing, folks. We left this out.
What's that?
Well, turn off. If you have an outboard motor, turn off the prop if you're getting someone in the water.
Oh, definitely.
Don't ever let someone ever get into the water while that prop is spinning.
That should never be on.
Stop it.
Yes.
Listen, if you're on a boat, look out for each other. If it's not your boat, keep an eye on the owner of the boat.
Well, yeah.
Keep an eye on, because how many times have you gotten off a boat into the water? And I'll say, make sure you don't turn that. First of all, you don't go in that way. But a lot of times you have to get into the water off certain boats that way.
Right, yes.
Very dangerous.
It is.
Extremely. Stay away from the prop.
I don't want to lose any limbs.
You don't want to lose your life.
Yeah. And here's another good thing. Always carry distress signals on board your boat.
Flares.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
Make sure you have proper lighting also. If you're stranded, you should turn on lights. And you can get them at Jay Sporting Goods or any. Go to Harrison. By the way, folks, we're talking about boating.
Yeah.
Our good friends and sponsors, Sean and Emerson Corridor up at Harrison Power Sports in Harrison, Michigan, have boats for sale, have personal watercraft for sale, have all the safety gear you need. They have all the ORVs right now. I was just up there last week at Harrison Power Sports having some stuff worked on.
Right.
Because if you need something fixed, a boat, an ORV, Harrison Power Sports.
Definitely.
Yeah, and then after that, I'm going to Sour Apple for some legal smoking utensils for tobacco.
And here's a good thing to also have, a horn or a portable device.
No, you have to. Your horn has to work.
And if you don't have a horn, you can have a whistle or an air horn capable of producing a 4-second blast that can be heard at least a half a mile away.
Yeah.
That's what they recommend on the boats.
Look, we looked this up today.
Yes.
How hard is it, folks, to look up this information? It took us, we did it like 10 minutes before the show.
That's right. It's not that difficult. And also make sure your lights work.
Absolutely.
You know, from sunrise to sunset, you got to have your red and green navigation lights and your white stern and or anchor light.
Here's something else. Make sure that your boat is licensed.
Yes.
You have the proper license. And here's another thing. You ready for this one? Carry water on board. If you're stranded out there, you're going to need water. You're going to become dehydrated. So make sure you have hats, clothing to cover your body from sunstroke, sun heat.
Correct.
Use sunscreen.
Yes.
Okay.
Always.
And water. I recommend getting what's called a Steri pen. We've talked about this. Go to Jay Sporting Goods, get a Steri pen. It's ultraviolet light. After 90 seconds, you can purify water. We'll talk about that in another
Everybody
show.
Everybody should have one,
you know,
of those.
I'm going to go up to Jay's, voting. Talk to the poets up there. A great family that owns Jay's. All our friends up there, Joanne, Carl. Big shout out to everyone up there. We should have someone on Jay's come on the show and talk about some of the gear.
That would be a good show.
Well, in fact, let's try to do that in
tips
2 weeks.
For everybody.
2 weeks. And we want Sean Corridor and Emerson to come back on the show.
Yes.
Well, Nikki, hey, first of all, folks, have a great Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
If you missed any part of the show today, it's free. You can go to podbean.com, SoundCloud, or
iTunes.
It's all free. Just type in the Todd L. Levitt Law Show with Nikki Morissette, and you can hear this show, and we've got about 12 other shows on there.
Yes.
But this was a great show.
This is a very good show.
Huge show next week.
Yes. Make sure you send us your emails of any questions you have about the medical marijuana laws that are going to be coming into effect.
We got one of two lawyers, if not both, coming on the show next week. So send us an email to TLLS@WUPS.com.
Yep.
We'll answer all your questions.
Yes, we will.
Hey, enthusiasm is contagious.
It sure is.
Man, we are pumped up.
I know.
I'm going to hang out with my friend Stephanie Peters today. What are you doing?
I'm going to see my grandkids.
Outstanding.
Yes.
If you're on the water, be safe. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and operate a boat. Don't text and drive. Be kind to someone today. Tell someone you love them. Hug someone with consent. We
yes.
always say that. And tip your waiters and waitresses.
There you go.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
I'm not just a litigator.
You're an advocator.
Take us out.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, and the Sour Apple Smoke Shop in Mount Pleasant, the best damn smoke shop around.